Coming up on Locked On Dodgers. The Dodgers won the series, but they're one step closer to losing the division. We'll talk about the weekend series with the D-backs, the passion of Dodger fans, and some of the emotions that come with that. And we'll check in on the rest of the division. Let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Central, and this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm flying solo today, but Vince should be back with me tomorrow. Thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. This is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. As I said at the beginning, we're going to talk about the weekend series with the D-backs. Unfortunately, the Dodgers they won the series but lost a game, and the Giants didn't lose any games because the Rockies are worthless. So it was not a good weekend despite winning the series. So we're going to talk all about that. First, I want to remind you to subscribe or follow Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts and or on YouTube. And when you get in your car or sitting on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. So, yeah, you know, the Dodgers won 2 out of 3 from the D-backs. Saturday's game was frustrating. The offense just didn't really show up. And that cost the Dodgers a game and ultimately cost them a game in the standings. And, you know, the last two series before this, the Dodgers went in down by a game in the division and came out down by a game in the division. And we thought, well, if they could do that again, there's still at least a chance. And there's still technically a chance. The Dodgers are down by 2 with 6 games to play. But this was a big hit. To lose a game in the series or in the division this weekend it's a tough pill to swallow. You know, the Dodgers now have 100 wins this year. They're 156. But unfortunately, the Giants are 102-54. And, you know, I'm going to talk more in the second segment today about just kind of overall fan opinions of the Dodgers season, how things are going and all of that. So I won't dig too much into that right now. And, you know, this isn't really a recap show, but we will talk a little bit about some of the interesting things from the weekend. One of the things that jumped out at me, Trey Turner homered in 3 straight at-bats from his last 2 at-bats on Saturday and then his first at-bat on Sunday. And then his second at-bat, he hit what would have been a home run in, I think, 26 or 28. The broadcast said 28. The source I have said 26, but it would have been a home run in a lot of stadiums. Instead, it was a double off the big wall in center field at Chase Field. Trey Turner hit the ball well, and that's a good sign. Also, Corey Seager hit 2 home runs on Sunday. Turned out that Turner's home run and Seager's second home run were the 100th career home runs for both of those guys. Kind of funny, they're going to be free agents not quite at the same time, but they some similarities in their careers, even though they are vastly different players. We've talked a lot about how the fact that even though they play the same position, they are very different players. But it's funny that they got their 100th career home runs in the same game. And Corey's been hitting the cover off the ball basically ever since he came back from the broken hand. Trey Turner has had his ups and downs, but mostly hitting the ball well. And if he can hit, you know, power was one of the things. I think he has 8 or 9 home runs with the Dodgers now. And so if he can, I might be wrong about that, but if that power can show up for Turner, that is a big dimension. We talk a lot about what his speed can do and all that, but that power, just having a guy who can come up and hit you a big home run when you need one, is another big facet of Trey Turner's game that would be awesome going into the postseason. It might be too little too late here in the regular season. It might not be, but definitely in the postseason, that's the sort of thing that can pay dividends, especially, you know, if the Dodgers do lose the division, they're going to be playing a 1-game playoff against the Cardinals, probably against Adam Wainwright pitching, and they're going to need the offense to show up that game. And so Seager hitting well, Trey Turner hitting well, good signs, obviously, for the offense. And as we saw on Sunday, we still need the other guys to show up. The Dodgers got 3 runs on 3 solo home runs from Seager and Turner, and that was it. Nothing else happened the rest of the game, even though the rest of the game felt like it took 35 hours to play. And the rest of the offense didn't show up. And luckily the Dodgers pitching did show up, but you can't count on that all the time. And hopefully the rest of the offense can pick things up and help out. But Seager and Turner hitting will be a really big start. One interesting notable thing about this last week or so, you know, we talked about the rough starts in Colorado, and then, you know, Kershaw had a rough start on Saturday. And so if you look at it, the Dodgers just had a full turn through the rotation, all five starters, and by far their best start was turned in by Tony Gonsolin. Who would have thought? The one guy who's not going to be in their postseason rotation will be a key part of their postseason bullpen, I think. And it's not like his start was stellar. He didn't go super deep in the game, but he allowed one run, you know. So after clunkers from Scherzer and Buehler that followed a subpar start from Julio, and then after Gonsolin's start, a clunker from Kershaw. And I thought that was funny, if nothing else. I don't think it means a ton in the long run, but it was definitely worth noting. Julio then bounced back on Sunday, pitched a really good game. His command wasn't great. His swing and miss stuff wasn't great. That was, for me, the biggest maybe concern, or at least thing that was frustrating during the game. You know, in that first inning, he got squeezed a couple times. There were twice that he had strike three on a hitter that the umpire called a ball instead. And it ended up, you know, I think both times it was ball four. And so that cost him a lot of pitches. But like when Carson Kelly was up with two outs, it took Julio way too many pitches to strike him out, you know, or at least get some weak contact. And he was kind of in that in-between zone where he's not getting the weak contact, but he's not getting the swing and miss. He's just getting foul ball stuff. And for a pitcher to have foul ball stuff, it can be death on a pitch count. And so Julio was only able to go five innings. Maybe they could have pushed him to six. He, you know, he's under 90 pitches, but you know, with all the concerns about Julio's workload this season anyway, it made sense to pull him probably after five. And the bullpen, without using, you know, their top guys, other than Kenley, they were able to get the job done. Nice to get some work there. But it was nice to see Julio get back on track. And he got his 19th win. He's now 19-3, matches Oral Hershiser's 1985 record. I think it's now the third most wins by a Dodger pitcher with only three losses. And he should get one more shot to go for his 20th win. Hopefully it'll be against the Brewers. You know, who knows? The Brewers clinched their division, so don't know how into it they're going to be. I'm interested to see what they schedule for their starting rotation and all that. That's going to be a big key in Julio getting that 20th win, but I'm rooting for him. That'll be awesome for Julio, even though wins don't necessarily mean as much as they used to back in the old days. But winning 20 games is still kind of a big deal. And so hopefully he can do that. So I'm going to come back in just a minute. I'm going to talk about the passion of Dodger fans and that sort of thing. I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day. And I will be back in a minute to talk about passionate Dodger fans and the things that passion makes us say and think sometimes. So keep it locked on Dodgers. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends logging for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Hey, Dodger fans, this is Jeff with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. It's called Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code BASEBALL and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents per gallon cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code BASEBALL to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Get Upside app and use promo code BASEBALL to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code baseball. Okay, I am back. And I just want to talk a little bit, you know, there with the Dodgers losing game in the standings, the Giants continuing to win, sweeping the Rockies. It was an emotional weekend for Dodger fans on social media, especially. And, you know, one of the things, I don't know, I sometimes argue with people on Twitter. I don't mean to. I don't enjoy arguing with people. In my perfect world, we would all get along, especially Dodger fans. Like, I feel like something as cool as being Dodger fans should bind us together, maybe a little bit better than it does sometimes. I think there is a lot of tendency to get mad at each other. And I want to go on record and say, I love the passion of Dodger fans, even the ones I disagree with, even when they say things that I think are ridiculous. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about kind of my approach to fandom. And I don't want you to think I'm telling you how to be a fan, because I do think, I don't know if it's a good thing to have like all these different kinds, but I don't think it's a bad thing anyway. I think all these different approaches to fandom are fine. And even if deep down inside, I believe that mine is maybe better for mental health and more fun even, you know, that's what it boils down to for me. I like baseball because it's fun. I enjoy watching baseball because it gives me something fun to be passionate about. I refer to baseball as the most important, unimportant thing in life. And I really believe that. And being a Dodger fan, like, I feel blessed to be a Dodger fan. I was born into a Dodger family, and I think that's awesome. Like, I'm sure if I had been born into I'm not going to say that team from San Francisco, but, you know, if I had been born into another team fandom, I think that was great too. But, you know, everybody looks better in Dodger blue, even me. Like, if you're watching on YouTube, you look at this. I'm nothing special to look at, but I look better in Dodger blue than I would in something else, you know, because Dodger blue is a beautiful color. You know, everything about being a Dodger fan is awesome. And I saw somebody on Twitter, and I didn't tweet about this. Sorry, my headphone jack messed up. I didn't tweet about this because the person follows me. And so I didn't want to call him out, but he actually said being a Dodger fan is miserable. And I just don't understand that. Like, I feel like if you're miserable being a Dodger fan, it's because you've chosen misery. You've chosen to be miserable. You know, it's if the Giants had been as good as they are, the Giants have won 102 games with six games left. They're probably going to end the season with 105, 106 wins at least. Like, if the Giants had been this good the last 8 years, the Dodgers wouldn't have eight straight division titles. The Dodgers would have one, maybe two, you know, somewhere between zero and two division titles in the last 8 years if the Giants had been this good. And I've talked about this before. Like, the only difference this year is that the Giants are really good. And no team is perfect. You don't have to be perfect to be a great team. And so it's easy to look and see, well, the Dodgers are in second place. What's the problem? Why are they in second place? What can we nitpick? What can we identify as the problem? And every team has problems. You know, every team has issues. The 2020 Dodgers, honestly, are the closest team I've seen to a team without issues. And guess what? They went down 3-1 in the NLCS and had to mount a huge comeback to win that series. They very easily could have lost in the NLCS, and we would be looking back at, like, you know, at that as a failed postseason or whatever. And so no team is perfect. And so, yeah, the Dodgers, their boom or bust offense, maybe it's overblown, maybe it's not, but yeah, it can be frustrating at times. You know, the seeing, if you compare it to the Giants and seeing how the Giants sometimes seem to come through more than the Dodgers do in the clutch or whatever. I looked at numbers, and honestly, the clutch numbers, it's a mixed bag. Which team is better between the Dodgers and the Giants? The Dodgers are better with two outs and runners in scoring position. They're better in late and close situations. They're better in a lot of these clutch situations, but the Giants have more come from behind wins. I had a conversation with some people about that this weekend on Twitter. And, you know, the thing that I try to remember is we are all coming at this from the same perspective, which is we love the Dodgers. We want the best for the Dodgers. And, you know, we are passionate about our baseball, some more than others. And some, I honestly believe that there are some people who, if they could get a little bit better perspective on the overall importance of baseball relative to other things in the world, maybe they'd be a little bit happier. But you know, we all get emotional about the Dodgers winning and losing and all those things. When the Dodgers won the World Series last year, a lot of us shed tears, including me, and that's okay. And I mean, I remember back in 2008, I think when Matt Stairs hit that home run for the Phillies in the NLCS, and I threw a water bottle against the wall. You know, I made sure nobody I loved was nearby to accidentally get hit by the deflection, but that was upsetting. I was more upsetting that Hung Chi Kuo gave up a base hit to Ryan Howard, who Hung Chi Kuo was death to lefties. Ryan Howard couldn't hit lefties, and somehow he got a base hit to start that rally. Anyway, that was 13 years ago. And I still think about, you know, we're all passionate about this. Steve Finley's grand slam, you know, the 4+1 game, the absolute madness game. There's been so many things over the years that we get really, really emotional about. And I talked last week about how September is when that kind of starts to kick in even more for me, because I'm really scoreboard watching, you know, watching this stuff. And the last 8 years we've been spoiled. The Dodgers have clinched their division. You know, in 2018, they had to go to game 163. There's still an outside chance for that this year, but you know, there's a decent chance the Dodgers are going to break their division title streak this year. And honestly, I'd rather have it come in a year like this when the Dodgers are a legitimately great team. The Dodgers have 100 wins. They could finish with as many as 106, probably likely 104-ish, you know, somewhere between 100 and 305, something like that. That is a great, great season. Even if they lost their last six and finished 162, that would still be their third best season in this 9-year stretch with, you know, 8 division titles and 1 looks like not division title. This has been a really good season. Yeah, there's things to be frustrated about. There's things to look back and say, oh, if they hadn't blown this game, if they hadn't done this thing, if they hadn't, you know, they should be in first place. Yeah, that's understandable. But, you know, for me, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but for me, I try not to lose the perspective of I've really enjoyed watching this team for the last 6 months. I'm hoping to watch them for another full month and a week or so. I still believe the Dodgers are probably going to finish in second place in their division and second place in Major League Baseball. And I still honestly believe, I know this upsets some of you, Kevin, I'm looking at you. I know it upsets you, but I still believe the Dodgers are the best team in baseball. You know, you look at run differential, they've scored the most runs, you know, all those things, individual games. I know that's what matters. The record matters, but I believe the Dodgers are the most talented team in baseball, the best team in baseball. And that might reflect itself in the October postseason baseball. I think the Dodgers, assuming they can win this wild card game against the Cardinals, if they're in it at that point, they're in basically the same position as if they had won the division. And that's a good thing. You know, the Dodgers are a very good team. They'll play the Giants in the division series one way or the other, probably. And, you know, that'll be the chance to show what it is. And if the Giants beat the Dodgers in the division series, I'll still probably go to bed that night thinking, crap, the Dodgers are the better team and they lost. And, you know, I may go to my grave in denial, but I really do believe at this point, sitting here on Sunday night, September 26, 2021, I believe that the Dodgers are a better team than the Giants, and that if they meet up in the division series, they will show that. I think the Dodgers will win the series, and that's what I'm hoping for. If it doesn't happen, I will be bummed. I will try to keep perspective. It may take a day or two. I don't know, but we're all Dodger fans. Let's, you know, let's at least remember that we're all Dodger fans. You know, argue, great. You know, think that somebody else is saying something stupid, great. But don't actually get angry at these people. You know, save the anger for other people. You know, I'll talk in the next segment about fans of another team that's pretty sad right now. And if you want to be mean on Twitter, go be mean to Padre fans, you know. But anyway, that's kind of my thoughts on Dodger fandom. You know, I think the most important thing is we're all Dodger fans, and which means we're already better than 29 other fan bases just by virtue of being fans of the best team. Not just because they're the best, like I believe they're the best team in baseball, but because intrinsically being a Dodger fan is better than being a fan of those other teams. You know, the other podcasters on the Locked On Podcast Network might think the same thing about their teams. Guess what? They're wrong. We're Dodger fans. We're better because the Dodgers are better intrinsically. Dodger Blues, great. You know, anyway, thanks again. I'm going to keep mentioning this. Thanks for making us the first listen of the day for your podcast listening. I'm going to come back still. I'm going to talk a little bit about the rest of the National League West, little updates on the Padres and the Giants. May talk a little bit about potential postseason roster stuff for the Dodgers. So Keep it locked on Dodgers. Built Bar, as you know, is the best tasting protein bar in the world. I got some cookie dough chunk Built Bars in the mail the other day, and they were so good. I ate one, and it immediately became my favorite. And I went and I got an email saying Built Bar Chunk is leaving soon. By the time you're listening to this, it might be gone now. It'll be back at some point, I'm sure, because they're not going to keep that away from us. But I went in and I used promo code LOCK15 and I bought 3 boxes of cookie dough chunk because I loved them so much. And I got 15% off because that's what everybody gets when they use promo code LOCK15 at built.com. And every flavor, whatever your favorite flavor is, go buy it. If you don't know your favorite flavor, get their mix box and they will send you a box with a couple of each flavor in them. And then you figure out which one's your favorite. But the best thing is they are all delicious and they are all healthy. They are low calorie. They are high protein, low sugar, low carb, everything you want in a protein bar. And oh yeah, by the way, they taste good. Unlike most protein bars, are garbage, literal garbage. Like they took something out of the trash, put it in a wrapper and said, here, it's got protein in it. Built Bar doesn't do that. They take delicious things and put it in a wrapper and say, here, it's got protein in it and it's delicious. So like I said, built.com, promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your order. That's LOCK15 at built.com. All right. I am back for one last segment. Let's slap my name back up here. I mentioned the Dodgers, the Giants swept the Rockies. The Rockies had a couple moments where they looked like they might help the Dodgers out. In the end, they never did. They were pretty useless. And it was frustrating after seeing the Rockies put up a pretty good fight against the Dodgers. I guess it's possible that maybe the Giants are just a better team. I don't know. The Rockies were useless. And the Giants swept the Rockies, so they're now at 102 wins. Their magic number, I think I did the math, it's 5, I think, with 6 games to play, which means the Dodgers, their destiny is totally out of their own hands because the Dodgers could go 6-0 and still lose the division. And that's what we've seen over the last month and a half. The Dodgers have played very, very well. And they haven't gained much ground on the Giants because the Giants have continued to play really well. One thing that might play a factor, I would never root for an injury for any player. Even when like Madison Bumgarner got hurt a few years ago, I laughed because he did it to himself in a dirt biking accident. But I would never root for injury, especially serious injury on anyone. So this is more informational than gleeful, but Brandon Belt got hit on the hand on the left thumb by a pitch. He was squaring around to bunt and weird, like snuck through the bat and it got him right in the base of his left thumb. And, they did tests there in Colorado and they were inconclusive. So he's going to get more tests when they get back to San Francisco. That could have a big impact. Maybe not there. It might be too little too late for this week. I don't think it would be a bigger deal if it was Brandon Crawford because he has been their best player this year and plays a more irreplaceable position. The Giants have Lamont Wade who can just plug right in at first base, but Lamont Wade isn't the hitter that Brandon Belt is this year. If for no other reason than that Wade hasn't hit lefties very well and the Dodgers do have a couple lefties. So if Belt is out for a significant amount of time, like into the division series, that's a big impact on that division series. So it's worth noting here just because it might actually affect the Dodgers. So that's why I'm mentioning it here on a Dodgers podcast. The Padres were officially eliminated from postseason contention this weekend, which would have been shocking back in April, would have been shocking over the winter when everybody was talking about them winning the offseason. I was adamant all along. I didn't think they were as good as everybody was saying. I believed that the Dodgers were going to finish well ahead of the Padres this year. I thought it would be the Dodgers in first place and the Padres in second place. I didn't see the Giants coming. I feel comforted knowing that I'm in good company with people who did not see the Giants coming. But I also didn't see the Padres being this bad. The Padres might finish at or below 500. They're perilously close right now, and their last 6 games are against the Dodgers and Giants, the 2 best teams in baseball. The Padres might finish below 500, which would have been shocking. And even seeing them, the way they played early in the season against the Dodgers, they've got a lot of talent there. They've had a lot of injuries. They've had underperformance. But they also had, like we talked at the beginning of the season, I was giving Javi a hard time that they were banking a lot on Will Myers and Eric Hosmer both being good for a second year in a row when neither of them has ever been good 2 years in a row before in their career. And we've seen that, you know, Eric Hosmer, they've tried to offload his contract and every other team said, Mr. Preller, remember when none of us signed him? Yeah, there was a reason for that. And then you did. So deal with it. They're not going to be able to get rid of Hosmer unless they give away a bunch of the farm. They've also been revamping, AKA firing a bunch of people in their farm system. I wouldn't be surprised if Jace Tingler is on the chopping block, between the team's underperformance and the, you know, high profile dugout incident the week or two ago. I guess that was just last week. I don't remember. But yeah, I mean, it's been a rough year and the Dodgers or the Padres might be onto their fourth manager in the AJ Preller era. And that's if Preller survives, you know, Preller's the one who put this team together and, you know, there's got to be some accountability there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the offseason, but it is kind of shocking that the Padres are out of postseason contention. I've seen a lot of Dodger fans on social media being pretty gleeful about that. And I don't begrudge you that. I don't choose to engage in it. I give Javi a little bit of a hard time, the host of Locked On Padres, just because he decided that I was his arch nemesis. And so I like to play that role. And, you know, I like Javi to be sad. So that's fine. You know, whatever you got to do, like I said in the last segment, if you got to pick on Padre fans to get your Twitter anger out, go for that. But, you know, be nice to Dodger fans. So that's kind of the update on the National League West. The other two teams are the D-backs and the Rockies, who were playing the Dodgers and the Giants. And, you know, they're both irrelevant to everything, although the Rockies, I guess, have an outside shot of finishing ahead of the Padres this season, maybe. Maybe not after getting swept by the Giants. I haven't looked at their record, but, you know, they're bad. So last thing I just want to mention, we'll probably talk more either later this week or the very beginning of next week about postseason roster stuff. But one thought I had this weekend is I don't think David Price makes the postseason roster. What he brings to the table right now is not much. He is very much an innings eater at best. And even that, like, he hasn't been super good at that. And so with looking at the Dodgers pitching staff, it's kind of funny for the ups and downs that David Price has had this year. He pitched really well out of the bullpen. And then he stepped in and was a starter when they really needed a starter. He saved the team in some ways, but right now, talent-wise, performance-wise, David Price is probably not on the Dodgers postseason roster. And I wouldn't be surprised if this week is the last time we see David Price in a Dodger uniform, you know, on the field. I you know, whether they trade him or just release him, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see them try to trade him, eat some of the salary or whatever. Yeah, David Price doesn't seem to fit into this team right now in the postseason or next year. So it'll be interesting to see. Just a thought that I had. Like I said, we'll probably talk more about the roster later this week or the beginning of next week for the postseason stuff. And I think that's going to do it for me today. I just want to thank you one last time for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day. You know, for your second listen, stick with the Locked On Podcast Network and go check out Locked On Bets. Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts. And I want to thank you again for listening to Locked On Dodgers. If you're not listening every day, please just, you know, add 1 or 2 days a month to your rotation. I think that would be awesome. It would really help us. If you have friends or family who love the Dodgers as much as you do, tell them about the show. They might love it too. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I am on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. And our phone number, if you want to leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.